Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resources that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. Today, for the Eastern Church, just as last week, for the Western Church, Holy Tuesday is in view. And as with Holy Monday, Holy Tuesday is celebrated with laser focus on the end of time. And so time and time again, we're reminded of the eschatological meaning of Passover, of Pascha. Pascha meaning Passover or passage, the feast of Passover being for the Jews the annual commemoration of their whole history as one of salvation. And of course, Christ is that fulfillment of Pascha. He is the Passover Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so each week, in preparation for partaking of the mystical supper, we're reminded of our eschatological entrance into the splendor of the saints. If I dare to enter into the bridal chamber, my clothing will accuse me, since it's not a wedding garment. And being bound up, I shall be cast out by the angels. In your love, Lord, cleanse my soul and save me. At matins, at daybreak, we're reminded of blind and hypocritical religious leaders who give a tenth of their spices, of their mint and dill and cumin, but they neglect the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. Those who emulate the practices of such blind guides do not anticipate the hour of their master's return. And so central to this eschatological message, the message of Holy Tuesday, is the parable of the 10 virgins. And thus, we're reminded to watch, for we know neither the day nor the hour wherein which the Son of Man will return. In the parable, this extended simile with extraordinary sharp teeth, the coming of Christ is likened to the coming of the bridegroom to the home of his bride during the sacramental ritual of marriage. In the narrative, there are 10 virgins, 5 of them wise and 5 of them exceedingly foolish, 5 with oil for their lamps and 5 without. The 5 wise virgins are illustrative of those who practice almsgiving and mercy. The foolish, well, they represent those who selfishly squander God's provision upon themselves. And so the cry at midnight singles the second coming of Christ, when some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. And thus in anticipation we sing, behold, the bridegroom comes at midnight, blessed is the servant whom he shall find watching. In the wise words of John Chrysostom, Christ likens the gift of virginity, the purity of holiness, to a lamp. And he likens philanthropy, kind-heartedness, help of the poor, to oil. Oil in Holy Scripture invariably serves as an image of the Holy Spirit. And in this parable, the burning oil signifies those who are filled with the Holy Spirit and thus faithful followers of the bridegroom. They're saved. They're being saved. They will be saved, for they watch in faithfulness for the coming of their Lord. Through baptism, they've been enlightened. Through chrismation, they have been empowered. And through the Eucharist, they have been energized as with an earthen pot in a kiln. In the words of St. Gregory Palamas, when a pot is in a kiln, it shares the very life of the fire, taking on its hot and burning qualities, becoming capable of transferring that very energy to something else. And so through adoption, we become by grace what the Son of God is by nature. We become children of God, God's by grace, God's, as Peter puts it, by participation in the divine nature. To be in Christ, to experience his divine life, well, it's to experience his energies, not, of course, to partake in his essence, for no one can see God and live. And so in divine embrace, the bride shares the very life of the bridegroom. This is a foretaste of the time when God breaks into history, perfectly uniting divinity and humanity within himself. The time in which Jesus is revealed as, well, the new Moses, the Moses who carries his beloved bride over the threshold of Jordan into the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God. Well, in the finality of the parable, the bridegroom arrives and the five virgins who were ready went in with him to an eternal wedding banquet. And then, says Jesus, the door was irrevocably shut. Later, when the five foolish virgins arrived bereft of the oil of the Holy Spirit, the door had been shut. To the five foolish virgins who belatedly asked for the door to be opened, the bridegroom replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you." As with the parable of the 10 virgins, the essence of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the 7 churches in the province of Asia is that, too, of a wedding covenant. You recall that it begins with 7 love letters to a persecuted bride, to true Israel. It continues with the noxious vision of a prostituted bride, emblematic of apostate Israel. And then in graphic Old Testament pictures, we see the judgment of God, a judgment that is written on a 7-sealed scroll announced by 7 angels with 7 trumpets depicted through 7 plagues that befall a prostitute in bed with a beast. And then, in conclusion, there is the unveiling of a purified bride, of true Israel. True Israel carried over the threshold of Jordan into the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven from God. In like fashion, in similarity to the 5 foolish virgins, nothing impure will enter the New Jerusalem, but only those wise and virtuous virgins whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The eschatological significance of Holy Tuesday must never be forgotten. The five foolish, the five wise, the five who enter into the eternal banquet of their Lord, and the five forever shut out. Holy Tuesday hopefully is impressed upon your mind on every Tuesday, indeed every day of the year, as we celebrate, as we anticipate the coming of our Lord and King. Do remember, again, the resources I talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back. Stay tuned for answers to your questions.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Fatal torment, empty tomb, appearances of Christ, transformation. These four witnesses prove the resurrection of Christ, the central truth of Christianity, and our only hope of heaven. Hank's book, The Third Day, examines the historical facts in depth to help you defend your faith and rejoice in your own coming resurrection. The Third Day is our thank you for your gift today to help produce more Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other truth-affirming CRI resources. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to request your copy today. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. It's worth asking whether we're giving up more and more of our religious freedoms or religious liberties to a government that in many cases is telling us what we can and cannot do, even respecting our freedom of worship. These are things that we need to think about critically. And I think that's one of the primary reasons that I am so excited about Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America by Luke Goodrich. Luke addresses three primary needs. First, the fact that you and I need a theology of religious freedom. We need to know how to think about religious freedom theologically. Too often we begin thinking about religious freedom as a legal, a cultural, a political problem without first recognizing that its roots are theological. There's so much in Scripture that pertains to religious freedom. Secondly, we need to understand the unique religious freedom challenges that we face. We ought not to too uncritically cede power to a government, to a secular institution, encroaching upon the liberty of the church. Our challenges today are different from the religious challenges, well, maybe even 10 or 15 years ago, but we cannot avoid being prepared. We need to understand what our challenges are. And today, five of the most pressing religious freedom challenges, as Luke Goodrich points out, have to do with religious discrimination, abortion rights, gay rights, Islam, and the public square. And then finally, you and I need to take action. Our faith is not a set of abstract principles. This is a calling. This is a calling that covers every single aspect of our lives. American Christians haven't faced serious violations of their religious freedom for quite some time. We are now faced with that very specter. And we have to consider how much of Scripture was written to Christians who were in the exact same boat. To live our faith in a modern culture, we need to reclaim, we need to reacquaint ourselves with what Scripture says to a persecuted church. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will suffer persecution, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So we shouldn't be surprised at persecution, but we ought to know how we are to live in the midst of it. Free to Believe, the battle over religious liberty in America, available for those who support the ministry. Your copy available for your support. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling for my 13-year-old son. He's almost 14. And he was saved, accepted Christ when he was 9 years old. but he struggles with knowing that he's saved, the assurance and peace that he's saved, and that he can't lose his salvation. And he says, you know, he talks to God, because I've said, the only thing I can tell him is to pray and ask the Lord to give him that peace that he's saved. And he says he prays and prays and prays and asks the Lord to reveal himself to him, but he's not, he doesn't get any answers. He doesn't feel like he hears from God. And he has a daily, he has a discipline of daily praying and talking to God and reading his Bible. And I just keep trying to, you know, telling him, if, you know, the Bible says, seek him with all your heart and you will find him, but he, it's not enough to satisfy him. And I was wondering if you have any idea what I can say to him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love the description of your son as someone who is similar to what is described in the Psalms as someone who pants after God as the deer pants after the water brooks. That's a very, very good thing. Now, one of the things that's so important is that you explain to your son that salvation is not punctiliar, meaning it's not a point in time. Rather, salvation is a process. We're saved, we're being saved, we will be saved, and that means that we're never saved in isolation, but we're always saved within the context of the church, which is the body of Christ, and which is the ground and pillar of truth. It is the reservoir by which our thirst is quenched. For in the church, we receive the graces that transform us. Now, by way of analogy, Carol, you have a relationship with your son. Your son loves you. You're interacting with your son. That's very clear from the prologue to your question. And so as you interact with your son, your relationship deepens over time. If you were to avoid your son, that relationship would grow rather tepid and cold. But you're nurturing that relationship. Well, that's precisely what happens within the context of the body of Christ. Within the church, we receive graces that transform us. And that's the process that I'm talking about. So, for example, when you partake of the Eucharist, when you partake of the body and blood of Christ, you are energized. You're energized by a power that is in you, but not of you. I was sharing in the first part of the broadcast today about St. Gregory Palamas. He was talking about how when a pot is in the kiln, it shares the very life of the fire. It takes on its hot and burning qualities. It becomes capable of transferring that very energy to something else. But if it's removed from the fire, the pot still participates in the fire's effects, but it no longer participates in the energies of the fire itself. Now, the participation in the energies of the fire is the truer participation than the participation in the effects. And thus, while all God's children participate in the effects of their Creator, not all participate in God's very life. That is reserved for the saints in the church who have God not only as maker, but also as father through divine adoption. And I say all of that simply to underscore the importance of not only praying, which is wonderful. I'm so glad that your son has a prayer life. But it's also participating within the church week by week, because it's in the church that you're nurtured and fed. You grow. You grow not in isolation, but you grow just as you would in a family, but in an extended family, the family of God. So all of this is a matter of taking part in the principles that are provided for us, in the principle of prayer, in the principle of reading the Bible, in the principle of partaking of the Eucharist, in the principle of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Cumulatively, all of that enhances the relationship, the passion, and really the feeling that we have, the feeling of love that grows ever stronger as we participate in all of these wonderful disciplines that God provides us within the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church. Unfortunately, got to leave it there, Carol. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. A lot of what I was just talking about with Carol found in that book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Apart from the truth kept by the whole church, our faith would be uncertain. But the life that matters more, while not a prohibition on truth, it is the transcending of truth, the transcending of all philosophical speculation. It is the experience of union with God, fellowship in the Holy Trinity. Out of time, thanks for standing with us. See you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The resurrection is without question the most important event in human history. Why? The resurrection astonishingly did more than miraculously reverse the order of sin and death that plagues humanity. It inaugurated a whole new order of being for us and for the universe. Unfortunately, far too many people, believers and unbelievers alike, fail to grasp the enormous implications of this event. To strengthen your faith and equip you to provide credible answers to questions concerning the death and resurrection of Christ, the Christian Research Institute is offering the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, featuring historian Paul Meyer. Receive The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.